제가 지난번 설교 때 자기 발견에
In the last session, I talked about the importance of discovering ourselves. I emphasized that to discover ourselves, first, we should lower our heart in humbleness. Only then can we accept all the words of God as ours and heed the advice from people around us. That way, we can discover ourselves precisely. Whoever advises us, if we have humbleness, we would accept it with a thankful heart. The biggest characteristic of humble people is that they have no self. So whoever advises or rebukes them, they accept it thankfully without even a bit of resentment, look back on themselves, and promptly change themselves. That's why today's scripture urges us now to participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. It tells us that when all things are exposed by the light, they become visible and come forth as light. This means those who are humble in heart accept any kind of rebuke with a joyful heart and look back on themselves, thereby changing themselves quickly. Brothers and sisters, all of us are riding on the rapid flow of the Holy Spirit. Only heard a few people saying amen. Thus, shouldn't we quickly change ourselves by riding on the rapid spiritual flow? As said in today's scripture, everything that becomes visible is light. So all of us should become a person who enjoys being rebuked. Back in the early days of this church, beloved senior pastor once preached under the title, Enjoy Being Rebuked. I remember receiving a lot of grace. So I decided to talk about what kind of heart we should have to enjoy being rebuked. I hope this message will be a big inspiration to all of you. To enjoy being rebuked, first, we ought to have no self at all. Not long after he founded this church, in receiving the Father's prophetic words, senior pastor was reproached by Father God 7 times in front of the congregation. Yet, because senior pastor had no self at all, he only accepted his words thankfully and joyfully without even a bit of resentment. Being reproached 7 times, not just once or twice, ordinary people would have been distressed. But because senior pastor had no self at all, he didn't have such feelings at all. Through this, Father God was delighted, recognized him all the more, and bestowed greater power upon him, thereby allowing this church to have amazing revival and blessings. In the Old Testament, David completely let go of himself during trials. When Absalom rebelled against him, he fled from his palace. Then Shimei, a Benjaminite, followed him, cursing and throwing stones at him. Seeing this, Abishai was enraged and wanted to kill him, but David dissuaded him from killing him and humbly perceived it as a God-permitted situation. As he accepted the trials with such a humble attitude, he was shown God's mercy and his trial quickly came to an end. We can find a similar case from the New Testament where a Canaanite woman whose daughter was demon-possessed came before Jesus with her heart's wish. Recognizing her good heart, our Lord purposely permitted a big test because it demanded a great measure of justice to have her daughter set free from the demon. At first, he didn't respond to the woman's request. Even as she repeatedly begged him, he rejected her. Moreover, he said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Nevertheless, because the woman didn't have self, she humbly lowered herself to the end. Even comparing herself to a dog, she asked him for the crumbs from the table. As her confession moved our Lord's heart, she was commended and answered, "Like this, if we have no self, we would gladly accept any kind of advice or rebuke, thereby bringing down blessings." What about you? It's not that someone curses or throws stones at you, nor does he treat you as a dog. But just when he points out your shortcomings or rebukes you, do you agonize with ill feelings stirred up in your heart? It's not that you hear curse words like David did. It's not that you are ignored or treated as a Gentile or a dog like the Canaanite woman was. But do ill feelings arise just when you are rebuked for your wrongdoing or faults? If so, it's because you have self, namely pride and arrogance. Speaking of pride, out in the world people say, pride is not even worth a few pennies. But as we look back at the history, we find many incidents where people missed out on their opportunities or even ruined their life on account of trivial pride. It's the same spiritually. We see cases where people fail to lay themselves down because of pride, so they can't follow someone spiritually. They harbor ill feelings when someone advises or rebukes them. Even though they are spirit-filled right now, once their pride is hurt, their ill feelings cause them to lose their fullness and hinder them from riding on the flow of spirit. Their pride itself is a problem, and ill feelings stemming from their pride leads to greater problems. Particularly, people with diseases have to cast off such ill feelings completely. It is believed that many diseases originate from their heart. Today, a majority of diseases are caused by stress, and we can say stress also comes from our heart. Ill feelings may stress a person out and lead to mental, neurological, and cerebrovascular diseases. By the way, most of ill feelings arise by passing of judgment or condemnation. In other words, when we find someone's behavior not agreeing with our thoughts or standard, ill feelings arise. Thus, I urge you to quickly throw away such ill feelings and accomplish peace in your heart, thereby enjoying better health. Moreover, ill feelings are a tremendous obstacle in riding the flow of spirit. I know someone who stagnated for long at 99.99% of the third level of faith. Later, he confessed that what kept him from coming into spirit was ill feelings stemming from self-righteousness and frameworks. Ill feelings were stirred up when things didn't agree with his thoughts, when his pride was hurt, or when he was not recognized. That's why we should completely let go of ourself. So just like our shepherd who has no self, like King David, and like the Canaanite woman, even when we are rebuked, insulted, or ignored, we should be able to endure such situations joyfully and thankfully. I hope that all of us will quickly come forth as light through rebuke. To enjoy being rebuked, secondly, we ought to heed even the words of little ones. We can enjoy being rebuked after we achieve a humble and selfless heart. Therefore, to achieve a humble heart, we have to lower our heart and stand ready to heed even the words of little ones or people lower in position. In my last sermon, as I shared about the importance of discovering ourselves, I talked about people who lowered their hearts in humbleness. As we look back at the history, good kings always paid attention to the counsel of faithful vassals. Do you pay attention to the words of little ones or those lower in position? Are you a good king? A person who is broad-minded and virtuous joyfully accepts whatever his subordinates say. People who have such a person as their leader always feel comfortable. On the contrary, a person who is narrow-minded and arrogant like a tyrant harbors ill feelings and argues back when he hears advice from his subordinates. If you have such a person as your leader, you'd have a hard time. Let me share with you an interesting story regarding King Sejong. There is a Korean adjective used to describe a person who is mean and stubborn person, which is 고약해. Actually, this word 고약해 derives from the officials named 고약해 back in King Sejong's reign. According to the historical records, he was so mean and stubborn that he opposed whatever the king said. King Sejong suffered a lot because of him. he didn't speak to him in a humble manner. He didn't truly treat King Sejong as a king. Before him, he was such a disrespectful person before the king. He interrupted while the king was talking and glared at him when he didn't agree with what the king said. When he got angry, he stormed out of the meeting place without greeting. He was so disrespectful in his words and deeds. I cannot imagine how this happened. Back in the Joseon Dynasty, the king had a strong power. Because King Sejong was so benevolent, he could survive. King Sejong enjoyed an ancient sport in which players hit the ball with a wooden hammer riding on a horse. But he dared to propose that this sport be no longer played. He also called for the abolishment of Buddhism, which the king favored. So whenever he found a disobedient or defiant vessel, King Sejong would say, "We've got another Goyakkae here." So that's how his name Goyakkae became an adjective used to describe a mean and stubborn person. I searched the internet to find about this story. However, King Sejong didn't punish him or dismiss him from office, but acknowledged his ability and even appointed him to a significant position. He appreciated his unwavering and upright heart and assigned him with an important duty. By doing so, he wanted to create an environment where his officials felt free to offer him any advice. Moreover, when his official passed away, King Sejong proclaimed a day of mourning and paid tribute to the unwavering and upright character. His character. We can see how much he loved and cherished faithful vessels. That's why he's been called and remembered as a benevolent king to this day. Hearing this story, I was reminded of beloved senior pastor back in the early days of this church. Let me talk about Elder Boaz Lee. I'm sorry to say this. There were times Elder Boaz Lee, who was at the time a deacon, complained about senior pastor's sermon being too long or spoke up against his opinion. Now he's changed into such a gentle and meek person. Back then, however, he was sharp. He was sharp as a needle and piercing as a cold wind. It's not just my opinion. Many people said the same. However, beloved senior pastor didn't feel uncomfortable dealing with him, but saw him as lovely. Recognizing his strong and upright heart, he has assigned him with the significant duties and guided him to this day. Moved by senior pastor's generosity and goodness, he has become an exemplary elder who has exceeding love and respect towards senior pastor. Hallelujah. I remember someone saying, in this church, the person who is most careful and reticent is senior pastor. Hearing this, I couldn't agree more. Because beloved senior pastor humbly serves all of us all the time, even when he offers someone necessary advice, he's concerned that he or she might be hurt. Even when his subordinate made a suggestion that deviated from the truth, if he didn't go far from the truth, he accepted it and bore the responsibility so that he or she could have an awakening and obey from the bottom of his heart, his or her heart. Again, it was back in the early days of the church. At the time, pastors were having a meeting. A senior pastor used to preside over the meeting, a pastor's meeting. As we discussed how to name each title of the church, someone suggested all the titles include parish leader, following an example of another church. Technically, it makes sense only when there's one parish leader in a parish. it's not proper to have multiple parish leaders like young adult parish leader, children's parish leader. It's not proper those to have multiple parish leaders in a single parish. Back at the time, the church didn't have as many pastors, so they preferred to be called parish leader. Many of the pastors agreed that they would be called parish leader. Many pastors voted for that. Earlier, senior pastor reminded us that it wouldn't be proper for all the leaders to go by parish leader. But seeing most of us prefer that name, he granted it. That year, every leader in the church was referred to as parish leader, like young adult parish leader, high school parish leader, children's parish leader, etc. Everyone was called by parish leader. During that year, we pastors found that it was awkward for all of us to be called parish leader. So we decided to go back to the old way, which is to have only one parish leader in each parish, while other leaders are called guidance pastors. Because our shepherd showed this kind of service, we could joyfully obey from our hearts, and we've stuck to those titles even to this day. Like this, senior pastor didn't ignore even the words of little ones, and he set a good example of service. Years ago, I served as a great parish leader. A district leader of my parish had trouble with sub-district leader. It lasted for quite a long time. As the district leader clashed with the sub-district leader, the cell leaders sided with the sub-district leader and didn't get along with the district leader. As the district leader wanted to look back on herself and serve others more, I intervened to settle the situations, and they were finally reconciled. But I thought that the sub-district leader also had areas to look back on, so I advised her to allow her cell leaders to honestly say what they thought of her. It turned out that the cell leaders had sided with the sub-district leader because the district leader was at fault. After they were reconciled to district leader, they were allowed to say how they thought of the sub-district leader. Unexpectedly, they began to pour out everything they had in their minds. Over an hour, so the sub-district leader also received many pieces of advice and had time to discover herself a great deal. Brothers and sisters, do you make your subordinate nervous, or are you always considerate of your subordinates? If we indeed humble our hearts and pay attention to the words of our subordinates, we can discover ourselves a lot. Pressured by their parents, young children cannot express themselves, but as they get older and stronger, they begin to speak up what they've held back in their heart. We can see quite a few of their words are right. But if parents had listened to their children in the first place, their children would now respect them more without defying them. It's regrettable to see those families. A sage in the ancient time said, "All people are my teachers." As for me, as I decided to listen to the words of others, I found many good advisors around me. Sometimes it feels like they are going too far in talking to a man of spirit like me, but as I accept it with a grateful heart, I can discover many things. Especially if you are a leader, unless you open your heart first, it's difficult for another person to give advice. How could it be easy for an ordinary church member to advise a man of spirit or a great parish leader? Because I have people who point out my shortcomings, I can keep myself from being conceited, lower myself even more, and better ride on the flow of spirit. From Numbers chapter 22, verse 21 onward, we find that Prophet Balaam had a donkey who spoke right words to him. He was able to follow God's will. If Balaam hadn't plotted an evil scheme out of self-interest, he would have been credited and loved by God. Brothers and sisters, I hope that around you are many people who speak right words like the donkey did to Balaam. Then you will surely make it all the way to New Jerusalem riding on the donkey. The more donkeys you have, the better it will be for you. If you had two or four donkeys, you could go there by a chariot, don't you? It's my opinion, personal opinion. To enjoy being rebuked, third, you should be willing to hear others' advice first. If someone enjoys being rebuked, that means he's humble and open-minded, being ready to accept any kind of advice or rebuke. Thus, when you are ready to listen with an open mind, other people can feel free to point out your shortcomings or rebuke you. One of the church workers I've dealt with used to speak only good things about her while hiding bad things. I once had a chance to pray for her in a prayer meeting. With the Spirit's inspiration, I pray that she would not sugarcoat herself but completely disclose herself. After the prayer meeting was over, she personally asked me what the prayer meant. So, I explained in detail. Thankfully, after a while, she began to change. Previously, she bragged about her or her family's physical achievements while hiding their spiritual problems. But she began to confide spiritual matters to me, seeking my counsel and help. Because she talked honestly about her shortcomings, it was easy for me to point out the areas where she had to fix. As she acknowledged and changed herself, her husband began to have faith and her children changed as well. Later on, she faced moments she got stagnant in faith. Whenever I talked to her, I advised that she lower and open her heart even more. Then I saw her lowering her heart in humbleness and following spiritual order. Even though she was strongly rebuked at times, she accepted it with a joyful heart. As a result, her measure of faith has continuously grown. Dear brothers and sisters, is there anyone around you who doesn't make any change even though you pray for and treat him well? It's because you haven't changed yourself. Once you change yourself, the other person is changed as well, as he is inspired by your change and the grace expressed to him from you, God changes him. Unless you open up your heart, there is a limit to how far pastors can go in giving you advice or counsel. Right after I became a pastor, I once went into great detail in giving counsel to someone, even though he didn't open up his heart first. But rather than being thankful, he got afraid of me and kept away from me. But if you first lay down your heart and open up about yourself, pastors can share even the depths of your heart. If you accept it joyfully, you can change yourself quickly. From what I've seen, those church leaders who honestly opened up their hearts have come into spirit. It's not because I've instructed them well, but because they've laid down themselves and opened up their heart in humbleness. So God gave them grace so that they could quickly discover themselves and grow in faith. The act of disclosing oneself comes from a truthful heart. Also, God is pleased with a positive attitude by which you open up your heart first. Let me conclude a message. We are now on the rapid flow of Spirit and Holy Spirit. By the way, in order to come into Spirit and Holy Spirit and further into a deeper level of Holy Spirit and finally enter New Jerusalem, we have to keep these things in mind. First, even after we accomplish something, we need such a humble attitude to completely lay down ourselves, thinking it wasn't done on our own, but it was possible by the 99% of the shepherd's justice. Actually, thanks to the shepherd's justice, we could achieve Spirit and Holy Spirit. I had a chance to talk with a person who is close to Holy Spirit. He said, there's not many things. I haven't changed a lot, but thanks to the shepherd, I've come closer to the Holy Spirit. And another pastor, unless I haven't met the shepherd, I would be in the second level of faith, not fourth level of faith. Like this, like these people, we have to lay down ourselves completely. People who indeed long for change enjoy being rebuked, while those who don't tend to be complacent with their current state. So even if they are with some fault, they hate it when someone points it out or rebukes them. From the Bible, we find a very good example of this. 2 Chronicles chapter 14 provides a scene where King Asa defeated the Ethiopian army of a million by relying on God with a humble heart. But as his country enjoyed peace for many years amidst God's blessings, he became complacent and arrogant. He turned to the king of Aram rather than relying upon God. When Prophet Azariah pointed out his wrong behavior, he was enraged and even put him in prison. Later on, he became diseased in his feet as God's retribution. Even though God gave him a chance to turn from his ways like this, King Asa relied on his physicians instead of seeking God. It was the case with Judas Iscariot. Winning Jesus' credit, he was put in charge of the treasury. He was in a significant position which could be compared to the director of the financial committee in our church. Yet, taking advantage of his position, he stole from the money box, thereby building up upon evil. So, as we rise in position and receive more blessings, we have to make sure we have no such greed and self-interests. With evil piled up in his heart, Judas couldn't be moved at all by the scene where Lazarus' sister Mary poured perfume on Jesus' feet in preparation for his burial. Rather, involving his fleshly thoughts, he reproached her, saying that it would have been better if the perfume had been sold for 300 denarii and the money had been given to the poor. Hearing this, Jesus told his disciples not to bother her and affirmed that whenever the gospel is preached, her deed is to be remembered. Complimenting her, Jesus gave them an awakening. When Senior Pastor talked about this scene, he said that Judas took his words personally and began to harbor resentment. This in turn led him to betray Jesus. As you can see, people with arrogant and evil hearts harbor resentment and ill feelings when their fault is pointed out. So, whatever advice or rebuke, we have to accept it joyfully and thankfully. As 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 12 warns us, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. When we find ourselves successful, we should be all the more careful. Namely, we should prevent ourselves from being arrogant, lower our hearts, and behave ourselves with caution. Especially when someone points out our wrongdoing, we have to accept it with a humble and good heart, not with an arrogant or evil heart. If we become arrogant, God turns his face away from us. In turn, Satan interferes with us, making things go the wrong way. For this reason, we shouldn't harbor resentment against someone who advises or rebukes us. Rather, we should accept it with a thankful heart. We have to thank people who offered the right advice. Their words turn out to be helpful later on. In this regard, we can see how great of a person King David was. Unlike God, humans are imperfect beings, so we may end up with mistakes or wrongdoings. To talk about us, mom and members, even if we've come into spirit and Holy Spirit, it doesn't mean we've gone through 40 years trial like Moses or fiery trials like Job. Thanks to the shepherd's 99% of the justice, God acknowledged us. If only we filled up the 1% measure, which means we still lack 99%. Through recent incidents, we can't help but admit this fact. In 2 Samuel chapter 12 is a scene where King David was consumed by the lust of the eyes and lay with Bathsheba, Uriah's wife. To cover up his fault, David called Uriah to lie with his wife. But as this didn't go on his will, as his will, he sent Uriah to the front line of a battlefield and had him killed. Afterwards, as Prophet Nathan pointed out about this with the parable, David admitted his fault and repented right away. David was always appreciative of the prophet and had him by his side. Before King David breathed his last, Prophet Nathan helped Queen Bathsheba in offering him advice so that Solomon could succeed his father according to God's word. If David had been narrow-minded and kept himself away from Nathan, Solomon couldn't have succeeded to his throne. Because David joyfully accepted his rebuke, he could come out of the darkness into light, and God guaranteed his word of blessing, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. According to senior pastor, if we receive the same kind of advice from one or two persons, it might be his or their own thoughts. But if we hear the same thing from three or more people, we should definitely look back on ourselves. Even if you've worked tirelessly for God, when multiple people advise you, you have to lower yourself, humbly accept their words, and reflect on yourself. It has to be the same when we offer another person a piece of advice based on a fact. What we have to do first is look back on ourselves and examine whether we are trying to advise him truly in goodness or out of our righteous anger. No matter how right something seems according to our thoughts, righteous anger falls under the category of evil. It provokes ill feelings and breaks peace. But with goodness, we can get wisdom to move another person and change him. This is what it means to sow in peace and reap the fruit of righteousness, as we read in James chapter 3, verse 18. Not long ago, while listening to God's prophetic words, I was inspired as I learned that humbleness is the heart of God. Humbleness is the heart of God. I once again figured that the one who's perfectly achieved a humble heart is our beloved shepherd. Knowing that humbleness is the heart of our God and our shepherd, shouldn't we accomplish a more humble heart as well? Here's how we can examine whether we are arrogant or not. We have to completely cast off arrogance. Here's how we can examine whether we are arrogant or not. If ill feelings are stirred up when someone in a lower position points out wrong, it demonstrates you have arrogance. Moreover, if you feel upset or uncomfortable when someone in a higher position advises you, you have much arrogance. I hope that all of us will throw away arrogance and accept whatever advice we receive with a thankful and joyful heart, like that of our God, like that of our God and the shepherd. Brothers and sisters, I don't mean to say that we can advise or rebuke whomever we love, because advice and rebuke has to be appreciated. Because beloved senior pastor always serves his members, he points out someone's mistakes when necessary, but doesn't rebuke just anyone. From this, we can feel his heart of service. Of course, if someone is trustworthy and ready to accept his words joyfully, he sternly reproaches him. If the person can feel the shepherd's love from his heart and accept any words as his love, he can rebuke him according to the Spirit's inspiration. Therefore, even when dealing with little ones, we ought to have a serving heart and abstain from rebuking them recklessly. And if we achieve a humble heart by which we can joyfully accept any kind of rebuke, we can be blessed to discover and change ourselves quickly. So far, we've shared what we have to do to enjoy being rebuked. First, we ought to have no self at all. Second, we ought to heed even the words of little ones. Third, we should be willing to hear others' advice first. Hopefully, you will engrave today's message, quickly comfort as light, whenever you are rebuked, and achieve all the more humble heart as you come into spirit and whole spirit. I pray that you will never become arrogant. And even when you face trouble by arrogance, I urge you to accept any rebuke for advice with a grateful and humble heart, and quickly turn from your ways so that you can only be led onto the way of light.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts, and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.